Welcome back, everyone. My name is Kaz.
This is Medibot.
And this is episode 94 of the Skulls Cast, which we are doing again.
Yeah, because otherwise they're not going to give me my co-keys back.
It's in a place where you'll never find them.
I checked there, though.
No.
You. Oh, it's the other place.
Yes. Oh. See, you checked in the corporeal plane.
That's true. I checked every location in the corporeal plane. Mm-hmm.
But I put your car keys in a lake and then went downstream from a river that runs off of that lake and picked up some of the water, and that is your keys. In fact...
What did you do with the water, Kaz?
I drank it.
Kaz, so, I'm going to use you to unlock the door of my car and then start it.
I mean... By the laws of homeopathy, I have to pee on your car in order to start it.
You will do no such thing. You're okay. Coming with me to work. Your job is now my job.
Uh-huh. But this past weekend, we attended Grand Prix DC.
Apparently.
Most of those things were letters.
GPDC.
Well, the letter Grand.
Play TCGMTG.
Yes.
WOTC.
Those are all the letters of what we did.
A fully owned subsidiary of H.
H. H. Fully owned. Speaking of fully owned, we got fully owned
in our various rounds. Yeah, scrubbed out with the 1-3.
The event itself was a 3-player like team format, which really meant you just sort of had 2 friends with you also playing Magic, so that was good.
Yeah.
I mean, we've talked before about tournament Magic, how it's broken, and how bringing a buddy along makes it way better.
Yes.
The Grand Prix format is still way too huge. We don't know exactly how many players were participating in the event, but we do know that it was over 1,000 teams. So
over 3,000 players.
Yeah, that's like higher than 3,000 people, which, you know, every time they have one of these events, and... You know, Star City Games, God bless them, is really efficient and decent at running events.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they've been doing it for a while. They're basically the best in the business. They're better than Wizards at running Magic events. Like, just hands down, ask anybody who's been to one of them. This is the best that you will ever get out of a tournament Magic experience. And that said... They keep going in the wrong direction with them because they want the next event to be bigger and better than all of the past events. They want to set records every year to the tune of tournament attendance, right? That's it. That's all they care about because that's their bottom line.
Right.
So if they're going to bother to rent out a facility or whatever, which in this case was the DC Convention Center, like a huge wing of the DC Convention Center, they want to like make as much money as possible off of that one experience. So, yeah, it's to their benefit to put as many butts in as many seats as will not break them, which given the, I'm going to say, median Magic player is frankly more likely than it rather should be. However, point is, the tournaments are too large. The whole thing that I just said is just in the service of saying that these tournaments are too large. Let me tell you why. You and I were there.
Yeah, I was there.
Medibot. So I'll interview you.
This is the interview portion of the
right,
Skulls Cast.
We probably should do that at some point. Yeah. Like interview anyone about anything instead of just
I'm anyone, and you can ask me about anything.
AMA with Medibot, right here.
I'm Medibot, ask me anything.
Mm-hmm. Except when I ask you it and about this subject matter, it's likely that you'll actually answer.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. You can always
with something
ask.
That actually happened.
Right. So what was the start of our day like?
Okay, so we got up at like... I got up at like 6:15.
Right, and for me it was more like 6:30.
Yeah, which, to be fair, is my usual time that I wake up to go to work.
Yeah, that's like an hour before I wake up to go to work.
Yeah, so everyone gets up, we get out of here by like a little after 7?
Yeah, or just.
Yeah, just at 7, drive to the metro stop, get on the metro, ride the metro into DC, get to the event, get there, get a little bit of food when we get out, because we got the hungers. This is a hey after 8, I would say.
Mm. So,
and then we walk over to the convention center and figure out where the event is. And
yeah, when was the event supposed to begin?
9 a.m.
9 a.m. And are there any breaks scheduled in the event?
No. Well, so yes, after the first 9 rounds, there's a break.
Yeah, okay. So after the entire thing is over.
Well, no, it's half over.
Oh, right. They split it up over...
This is 14 rounds of Swiss.
14. Ugh. Okay. So the model then is after day one, a certain number of teams come back and play even more Magic.
Yes. After a break.
After a break. With $15,000 on the line.
Yeah.
That was the purse.
It was cash. Glory.
Right.
Your name up in lights.
Questions. Us sitting across from team actual channel five.
Yeah, so like...
Oh, man.
So we get there, and a dude... First of all, the dude, like, some chundering rando pops up and says, you need to move.
Yep, that's how...
To which... I think we all suppressed various instinctive responses.
Right. There are all kinds of gut reactions, yes. Including, you know, who the hell are you? Yeah. Bugger off. Go move yourself, except you're probably too large to do it on your own, so you need a fork truck or something. You know, all kinds of stuff just immediately shoots to mind. We didn't say any of those things. We're just sort of like...
No, thank you.
Yeah. Which is... And I'm like, no, I'm in my assigned seat, which they did give us. So
they're assigned seats.
Yeah, and that's important. That's part of one of the reasons.
Just like an English class.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons that I say that Star City is good at doing their thing. Like with everyone with assigned seats, everyone is in a place. If anyone is missing, they can get that sorted out like before any magic happens. It's all, you know, it's all very organized. Anyway, I digress a little bit.
Then so, LSV rolls up.
No, then some like dad who looks like he's filling in for his son who's on Team Channel Fireball, and his son just sort of gave him the hoodie and is like, "Dad, I can't make it. You're gonna have to do it." Yeah, that person sat down across from him. So I'm like, who? And at this point, I suppressed the urge to like ask them. So what are you guys like, Budget Channel Fireball or something? Except
regular Channel Fireball. That's the real LSV.
Right. He just looks like somebody's old dad now and looks nothing like any of his pictures. It wasn't until
videos,
he said something out loud that I'm like,
that sounds like LSV.
I recognize that voice because I've watched him play. So it is to my shame that I did not ask that. That would be hilarious. They'd have a story to tell when they got back to California or whatever. But
whoever Channel Fireball lives. A volcano? Probably.
Mm. But no, basically LSV is the only one who has any kind of cordiality or basic decency. I don't know. Anyway, but that was just for deck registration. They were not our first round opponent.
Yeah, that would have been something.
That would have been excellent. I would have loved crushing them, man.
I would want to play awesome. Bad cards against them and use those bad cards to win.
Just throw like junk and then they draw too many lands or something. Because this is the game,
this
of, Magic
is the game
Gathering,
of Magic
and
the Gathering.
That's kind of how it
you
rolls.
You put your spells together and maybe you get to play any of them.
But yeah, so how long did we have for deck construction?
I'll say about an hour, a little less.
That's probably right. And rounds themselves?
Well, the curious thing about rounds is that rounds have a time limit of 50 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
At which point and when those 50 minutes are up, pretty much everyone just keeps playing anyway.
Yeah.
Because at 50 minutes they call, you know, it is time. You are now on to turns, where there were 5 more turns
yep.
in the game.
The starting player has turn 0.
Yeah.
Like whoever is like taking their turn
when time is called. And at the end of turn 5, the game ends in a draw. If it is not otherwise ended before that. So, in actuality, you know, the 50 minutes hit, and you could be potentially waiting another 15, 20, 30, 40 minutes for the round to end.
Well, is there anything that could extend that amount of time?
Well, if during the course of a match there was a lengthy judge call, that match would receive a time extension, so they would not even go to turns at the 50-minute mark. They might not go to turns until, say, the 65-minute mark, at which point they are now on these turns, which are themselves untimed.
So, even with all that, like, supposing we have this extra time on top of whatever, which I'm going to guess with, like, as many teams as are participating is a, like, statistical certainty. We'll talk about the stats of that later. But even with that, all the rounds are taking forever, and then you just go right to the next round, right? Like, immediately.
Well, they have to get all of the results processed so that they can assign pairings for the next round.
I see.
And then they must announce the pairings.
Okay, so
and then you move to wherever you need to be for your next match.
Right, but how do you find out where you need to be for the next match?
Well, traditionally, they put up a piece of paper, and everyone crowds around it, and 10 minutes after that, you will be able to read the paper and find your name on it and learn what table you should be at for your next match.
So, in a crowd of 3,000 people, that sounds awful.
Yes.
Did they have any other way to do it?
Yes, they did have an interesting system in place where there was a website where you could simply enter your name. And they, at around the same time the paper goes up, they also put that information on that website.
Yeah, so we could go to pairings.starcitygames.com, and this was one of the times where stats worked in our favor, because if you're an individual, you say, like, any individual has a 40% chance to have a functioning device on them that can see this site.
Yeah.
Well, with the team, that's three people, and you only need one of them to have it.
So you're all together.
Right. So that's 0.6 times 0.6 times 0.6, or like 1 minus 0.4, whatever. One minus that for the probability of not having one. So it's something... Maybe I should be able to do that in my head. But
so
anyway...
So it's around a 20% chance. If you assume that there's a 40% chance that any one person has it, there's around an 80% chance that someone on the team has
it. Yeah, that sounds right. So, again, that's a tiny way to make stats work in your favor, except that at the beginning of the round, you have a judge or whoever telling 3,000 people in a room to all go check this website all at once.
3,000 people on a website is nothing, Cass.
Yeah, okay.
It's nothing.
Uh-huh.
It went down anyway.
Yes, it did.
Only once, though.
Please, refresh as much as possible, 3,000 people. Yeah. All at the same second, if you can.
Send as many requests. if you press refresh again, it'll actually move your request to the front of the queue. It'll load faster, because you've sent multiple requests. So you're getting the bytes on two streams at once. Dual streaming.
The dual streaming byte...
Byte streams. And they get
all I can see is a rope with chattering teeth on it, and that's the bite stream.
Oh, I could really use some rope and some chattering teeth for I think separate we could use but related purposes.
Chattering teeth like nobody's business, man. We have to, but like real looking ones, like, because you can very easily get like crappy fake ones. I would want it to like resemble dentures almost. You know,
how much do you think it costs to just get like dentures that people don't need anymore? Because then we could just attach the chattering mechanism.
Right. I think we have to go to Craigslist after this or something like, to find out.
Want to buy dentures.
Want to buy used dentures.
Used dentures.
That's, man, that's almost morbid, because you know whoever like passed on to leave us these chattering teeth.
Yeah.
Hmm. I got dark all of a sudden.
Yeah, a little bit.
But anyway, right. So basically, the tournament takes forever. They had 9 planned rounds, and you can rough estimate of an hour and a half per round, even though like it's supposed to be an hour.
Right, it's 50 minutes of officially designated Magic playing time, but then additionally non-designated Magic playing time, and then logistics time. Right.
So in your like corner Magic store, if you're just doing like 50 minute rounds, 10 minutes downtime, that's no problem.
Yeah.
10 minutes is plenty of time.
There's like a dozen of you there.
Right. The 10 minutes is plenty of time to gather results, repair your buddy, let everyone know where they're supposed to sit, and go to it. I don't care how efficient your like judge system is or whatever. 10 minutes is not enough time for like after a certain point. You can't add more workers to your system to mitigate the time amount with all this crowd of people. So yeah, it takes significantly longer than that. So they said like plan for an hour per round, but it's really more like an hour and a half per round. So, you know what? 9 turns into 13.5? Is that right?
Yep. 13.5 hours of Magic.
Yeah. With no breaks.
No planned breaks.
No planned breaks.
Now, with the team event, well, it's sort of better and worse. If you manage to wrangle a buddy into being just your lackey and a GP, you can be like, hey, go to a place and grab food for me and bring it to me, and there you go. This is, of course, assuming that you've managed to wrangle someone into just being there as your lackey.
Yeah, but realistically, you don't eat.
Yeah.
Like, I packed food away for us because I knew that this was going to happen.
Yeah.
Anyway, we were done after how many rounds?
4 rounds.
4 rounds. We only got that far before deciding, no, this is not worth it. While it was technically possible for us to, like, from that point end with a like day 2 finish,
yeah,
we decided that it was 1 unlikely and 2 grueling, and so
devastating.
We decided to move on to other things. What did you do after that?
Well, at a lot of these big Magic tournaments, they'll have sort of guest appearances by artists who have worked on Magic cards, and wouldn't you know, one of the artists at GPDC was Therese Nielsen.
Right.
Who's so that, one of the, I mean, gifts to Magic art.
Yeah, she's a currently working artist. She's been illustrating cards since Alliances. I don't think that she did anything for Ice Age, but Alliances for sure, both on like 2 different versions of Elvish Ranger and Force of Will, which
Force
you
of freaking Will,
might have heard of.
Which has authentic Therese Nielsen fact, those are her abs on Force of Will. I read about this. Let me tell you something
you read
that
about
I read
it in
about.
The line.
Is that when she was making the art for Force of Will, it's like, all right, the person on this card needs to have like a completely killer six pack. So what does she do? She's like, well, as an artist, you know, I need a reference. So I'm going to get buff as hell and get myself a completely killer six-pack and then just take a picture of myself in the mirror, be like, boom, these are the abs, like, use those abs. So that's what she did.
I'm pretty sure that's some combination of outsider art and the selfie. Like, I don't...
and
That's like the Boris Vallejo school of art.
Except good.
Okay.
Therese Nielsen is a Vallejo method.
Not his school. Not at all his school. But definitely his method.
Therese Nielsen is just, I will just say unqualified. Just Therese Nielsen is an excellent artist.
Yeah, I'm willing
she
to...
She is just extremely good.
I am willing to give her the term artist, where most any other Magic illustrator, I merely call illustrators. That's how I distinguish it. Nevertheless, they had, like, a bunch of other
There were a lot of other artists there. Some of them Yeah, there were like a dozen other artists there, but you know, everyone's.
But no one had ever heard of them, so they didn't have lines.
Like I had actually, when I looked through the list, I did recognize one of the other names, but I didn't.
What was it like Matt Stewart or something?
Nah, someone else. I can't remember.
Was Darken there?
Don't think so.
Okay, they were. No, that was a different Grand Prix DC. They also didn't have a line because no one cares.
Therese Nielsen had a line.
Yes.
Because people care about Therese Nielsen because she's extremely good.
So in the 40 minutes that I spent, like, waiting at the other end of the line,
right.
I think you had moved, like, 6 places ahead.
Yeah, because, like, I knew ahead of time that Therese Nielsen was going to be there, so I brought a card to be signed by her. Because the way this always works is that people bring, you know, cards or playmats or whatever to be signed by the artist who did the art on that magic card. And because, you know, she did, you know, Force of Will, among other things, her art has been on some relatively non-exciting cards. Kindu Catch. It's a pretty ordinary card. Great art on it.
Mm,
excellent artwork.
That's a bag of children.
It's good before you notice it. It's a good painting. Then you see the bag of children, and you understand that this was done by an artist.
Right, and then there's more recent stuff like Dictate of Heliod and
a new version of Mother of Runes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she did that.
Mother of Runes.
Anyway.
So you would.
I brought my one card. And there's people always bring, you know, entire binders full of codes for the artist to sign, because clearly they don't need to use their hands for anything else. And so we can just wear them out signing their name over. But I brought one, because I'm a respectful patron. So I brought my. I'm going to go ahead and call mint condition. Once More with Feeling from the Unglued expansion. Which isn't a real set of magic codes, but it's a very real set of magic codes. Silver bordered, can't use it in tournaments. But it was, you know, that was one of the first. I sort of started playing around the time, like a little bit before Unglued happened. I want to say. So, you know, we got in on that. And since we were playing schoolyard magic, sure, play your silver bordered codes.
Yeah.
Nah, it's great. Play whatever.
This is street magic, son.
So I brought that, and so I'm in line, and you know I can sort of see up front people with their piles of stuff. And it's like, oh yeah, I brought, you know, all of these. I'm in line, and it's like, after a while, I'm like, look, I wanted to get this code signed, but I'm not gonna be heartbroken if I can't. Let's call it. Let's go get dinner at a place that will give us the food that we crave. And, you know, okay, I don't get my goofy Unglued card signed, whatever. We still had a good time today. And then y'all were like, nah, we'll join a draft.
Right, because
event.
My thought there was that they do really good side events. A draft is fundamentally like 8 players, so it can't take forever. The amount of time is basically just 3 hours. And, you know, after 3 hours, you would be significantly further ahead in line, and we'd come back
maybe
and...
Maybe even at the front of it.
Yeah, we would come back and, like, wave, and then wait for another 45 to 50 minutes, and then you would be out of it. So that was the plan, anyway.
That was
anyway.
The plan. It was a great plan. So 5 minutes after these guys go to, like, figure out how to sign up for a side event, guy behind me in line says, hey, what's that on the ground? What's that there? Bends over, picks up an orb. And I'm like, huh, it's an orb. He's like, yeah, it was just on the ground there. I'm like, wow, that's weird. Like, yeah, I think someone from up front, from behind the table, threw this orb over here, and it just landed here. It says fast pass on it. I'm like, this is weird. This orb says fast pass on it when we're standing in this extremely long line. But, you know, it could be a trick. This could be something weird that someone put down that, like, you pick it up and it, like, smells terrible or it's all sticky. And, you know, like, if you hold on to it, please give me the orb. And he gives me the orb. Because I wanted the orb. I covet orbs, you see. Just as a day-to-day thing. I covet orbs, and so I got this orb. And I realized I had the orb. The orb is mine. So I get out of line, because I figure, what have I got to lose? And I just sort of walk over to the side of the table, and I say, ah, excuse me. I have the orb. Woman behind the table says, ah, you have the orb. Please, please, come around to the other side of the table. And so I go around to the other side of the table where the front of the line is. And someone's there getting his thing signed. And he finishes up and goes away. I say, I have the orb. And Therese Nielsen says, ah, good, good. What would you like me to sign? I open my box. I pull out my one card. Say, this, I have once more with feeling. You know, it was one of the first cards I owned. Back when we were children who did not know about rules for magic and did as we would. And there was another gentleman next to me, and he was at the head of the regular line for people without orbs. There's a line for people with orbs. That's for me. Mm. And then there's the line for everyone else. And he said, what, just one card? You know, there's a 10-card limit. You were going to wait in line this whole time for just one card. Yes. Yes, I was. So you should have asked someone to give you 9 cards, because then, you know, people often will make several trips through the line if they have more than 10 cards that they want signed. And I turn to him and I say, you can give me 9 cards if you want to. Can't promise I'll give them back. And he gave me a confused look. And Therese Nielsen laughed at my excellent joke.
Yeah.
She appreciates good little things like that. So, Therese Nielsen, you're an excellent artist. Thank you for coming to GPDC. It was nice briefly speaking with you. Basically it was a great experience because I got my card signed because I got the orb. So at this point, I'm done, right?
Yep. You know. So how far were we into our draft by
you
that
were,
point?
I think pack 1, pick 5.
Oh, boy. Yep.
So I walk
barely
over.
Barely begun.
I just sort of hover for a little while. And, you know, the players all, as they should, looking down to their packs. I hover for about 5 minutes before I'm noticed. They're like, you're back.
And I did the mental arithmetic here. There's no way he could have gotten through the line.
No way I could have gotten through the line,
I was like,
Kaz.
What? Why did you leave? You didn't have to leave.
I finished. I got my card signed.
Finished. And then he told me that story. Yeah. And
I got the orb.
That was pretty good. So we finished up with our draft, which was a lot more fun than the main event. And if I ever go to one of these again, I'm just doing side events. Because $10 drafts are really good.
It's only $10 to draft?
Yeah, it was $10.
What's the payout?
30 fake points that you can only spend, like, at the event.
Can 30 fake points be 7 boosters?
It can be, like, more drafting.
Can it go infinite?
Yeah.
They're not allowed to shut down the event as long as you still have points.
I have points. I never got an explanation as to what, like, 30 tickets got you, but I presumed that it was store credit.
Yeah.
So...
Like winner take all?
I think so. I don't know.
That's pretty serious.
I think it was winner take all. It was, I mean, cheap draft.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had fun there and then bugged out. So I'm just going to fast forward past the rest of it because it doesn't have to do with magic itself. We ate dinner and got back home. And by the time we got back home, round 9 was beginning.
Yeah. This was around like 11 at night.
Yeah, it was past 11 p.m. So
now 9 was beginning.
Right. I was trying to imagine what the opposite world looked like. You know,
when we're cruising through the
right
rooms.
Where we're running hot and just can't be stopped, just win after win after win. And like what the hell?
Do we in round 9 ask for an intentional draw so we can look? We're all tired. We're both 8-0. We're in for day 2. I offer a draw.
Hell, I think that would happen after 7 wins, maybe after 6. Yeah. But, you know, there's no, like, clearly the ones who have it the worst are the ones who are like striving for win 6.
Right, the 5-3s.
Who have to like play it out in the last round of the day at 11 p.m. beginning time.
Right, so they're going into the next day.
Maybe I haven't stressed enough how insane this is. So imagine that if you don't play Magic, or if you don't play Magic seriously, which is to say if you do not regularly attend tournament Magic events of this size, imagine that I put you in a room and
okay,
give
I'm
you
in a room.
You're in a room and give you some cards to shuffle. Okay, and you're gonna play Magic. You know what playing Magic is like. Okay, and you can't leave for 13 straight hours. And
can I use the bathroom?
If you can find time for it between your matches. But if you're late to your match, you get a game loss. So be quick. Oh, also there's a line for the bathroom. So be quick behind everyone else who is also being quick.
I had a disgusting bathroom experience at the GP.
I don't want to talk about our bathroom experiences.
It wasn't my fault. It was someone else's fault. He was disgusting. That's my story.
Again, median Magic player.
Yeah.
However, okay, so try to imagine a time in your life when you did anything for 13 hours with no food and occasional bathroom breaks if there was time for it. Being under pressure to perform the entire time and playing a game that requires you to keep track of lots of information and states from moment to moment and turn to turn. Like, if we sat you down and gave you a 13-hour multiple choice quiz or something.
On a topic of your choosing, you get to pick.
Yeah. You know, the quiz...
13
the
hours.
Topic that you're the best at.
Yeah.
We have 50,000 questions for you to get through, so get grinding. Like, and if you don't get better than 6 out of 9 on average, then you get killed at the end.
They just drop you into the Crocagator pit. Lever.
So between the bodies and the noise and the stress and fatigue and lack of sleep because you got up early, lack of food because you couldn't have any, lack of water sometimes if you didn't bring it because there's no, like, you know,
fountain?
It's on
What's
you
that?
To
yeah.
bring your own, like, health, I guess, even though this, it's almost designed as a kind of torture, almost.
But it's torture for wizards, which is possibly ethical.
The large tournament structure greatly resembles an elaborate torture chamber, and I really think that needs to change. I know that the people running the events want to have the biggest event possible, but something has got to give. Like, we just can't keep doing this.
Apparently,
we're killing ourselves.
I mean, if maybe you're not. If you want something to change and you're saying we can't keep doing this, well, maybe they don't want you as part of we.
Yeah, no, it's definitely starting with I. Yeah. Like, this part of we is not going to one of these gigantic tournaments again. That's flat not happening. And I want you, listener, to also never go to a tournament that advertises itself as, like, largest ever anything. If you must.
I'm going to go ahead and say, can we give an exception that you should go to the largest Yoshi's Cookie tournament? Thank you.
That's a different thing. That's a different thing.
There were cookies there.
It's fundamentally different. Like, okay, Yoshi's Tournament rounds don't last 50 minutes. Like, to begin with.
But yeah, don't go to giant magic tournaments because it's harmful for your body.
It's just like, win or lose, you're going to suffer for it, and that's it. That's basically the only outcome. Is you start out fatigued, you end up hungry and fatigued, and you'll probably never want to play magic again. But you know,
log off angry, go to bed sad.
It's easy to forget about that kind of experience.
Right. You wait a year or two and you're like, I can do this. It'll
right. Or you know, you hear about the next tournament coming out and they, you know, you just read the stat sheet on it and it's like, yeah, it's going to be the biggest ever. It's going to be great. I need to somehow turn like bigness of tournament into a bad word, because it truly is. Like, it's like, this is the most enormous magic tournament.
This is the largest pit full of spikes we could find.
Right, this is the largest inconvenience since 2010.
There have been many strides in inconvenience engineering.
Mm. We've really outdone ourselves this time. We've re-engineered it. Our staff is better and brighter than ever at inconveniencing you.
You know, you will get less done in more time, guaranteed.
Man. That's no good.
You won't know what to do, why you're doing it.
So yeah, and again, this whole thing kind of extends from what we were talking about, like the two-headed giant tournaments that we've been to, which were, like... I want to say those were like six rounds max.
That was four.
Okay. Like, yeah. even six sounds insane compared to what we did, but like four is about right. Ugh. Okay. Best way to play magic is like not at all. Okay. Next door to that, you have like casual playing with friends around the kitchen table or whatever. You can have a lot of fun that way. And the fun can basically never end because you have like your collections, and it's people that you enjoy spending time with, and this is an excuse to spend time with those people. Great.
You're allowed to drink while you're doing it.
Yeah. Next door to that, you have playing Magic the Gathering online with strangers. I'm just going to skip ahead till you're no longer playing with friends at that point. Which...
You can drink while you're doing that?
You can drink while you're doing that. You can go to the bathroom. It's great. You can do it in the nude. You can tell your opponent that you're doing it in the nude. Although, don't actually do that, because that might qualify as a form of harassment, and...
They'll tell the orcs.
Yeah, they'll bring down the orcs on you. Next door to that, we have going to local card stores and playing with friends or strangers. You can't drink at those most
usually
of the time. Yeah.
Except for some of them.
Sometimes they'll have a bathroom, maybe. They still don't have breaks between rounds. You have to go all out of your way to do it. They do, like, midnight events, so you're fatigued. But fine, but they're small events, so it's like,
yeah,
not that bad. Next door to that, we have like larger, but maybe still small-ish, two-headed giant events with four rounds at the very most. And at the very bottom of never actually do this ever, we have every other kind of tournament magic. Does that sound about right?
Wipe your team. My buddy gets six elves. Pass the turn.
I honestly think that the sake of that has...
I think that basically, like,
compelled
things
us
like
to
that
forever
justifies
love.
Two-headed giant as sealed as a format. Get double, open double Roisin Meanderer, play a useless enchantment, perform a 9-for-2.
Use Scuttlemutt to speed out polluted bonds.
Punishes you extra hard because
watch as your opposing team decides who gets to play a land this turn.
It's Tuesday. That's my brother's day to eat.
Yeah. I guess there was a magic tournament on Monday then. For him. Because he didn't get to eat Monday.
Goodness. Magic's a messed up game. A lot of the problems with the game of Magic exist around the game of Magic rather than, I guess, on the cards themselves.
Yeah, no, I beef about the cards themselves and the way they get designed and printed a lot. But this has nothing to do with that. One kind of feeds into the other, I think, because we have this extra layer of economy to Magic, wherein, like, most other things, there's, like, money for goods. But here we have, like, money for goods that have a value in tournaments. Tournaments drive the value of the card, and cards sort of justify the existence of tournaments, you know? So there's this, like, web of interrelated value chains. Right.
You buy a machine that will help you win a competition. Like, you spend money to buy a machine, and then you use that machine to try to earn money.
Right. And I'm just thinking about the secondary market here, where until a card makes a big tournament appearance, no one's going to ever hear of it. But after it does, that drives the value way up, and you see him in more tournaments. So without the tournament, that particular card is never going to have value. If you take tournaments completely out of Magic the Gathering, the value system flips on its ear, and you're down to, like, kitchen table Magic driving value, which is real. There are some cards that command a high price.
Doubling Season.
Basically that one.
Freaking
Simply because Season. They're very popular around the kitchen table, but basically in, like, not viable in a tournament setting.
Goofy
so
stuff.
Yeah, like the economy of Magic is messed up and difficult to understand, and I'm pretty sure that even people who study it specifically for their, like, their job or whatever don't really get it. And it's I don't know if that feeds directly into, like, the largeness of tournaments, but certainly a tournament has to be so large before you ever hear of it. So they, you know, it has to be pretty big to be, like, awful, and then it makes a card popular, and then that drives value. So it's the beast that feeds on its own belly. It just makes me tired just thinking about it. I really want this message to reach actual players of tournament Magic, or, like, those who are thinking about getting into it instead of doing other things. And they'll,
I suggest other things. Play Pro Yoko.
Please, like, please remember how tired you were, how much of a slog it was. I need you to call that back to mind every time you think to yourself, hey, I should play in this large-scale Magic tournament. Just large-scale. Think enormous. Think inconvenient.
Would you rather have to deal with a 5-foot-tall crime-fighting robot? Or an 8-foot-tall crime-fighting robot.
Jeez. Is there a situation where I don't have to deal with either robot?
Well, which one is worse to deal with?
Can I just not play Magic? Clearly, I would want to deal with the 5-foot.
Right. The one that's smaller.
Right.
You would prefer to deal with the crime-fighting robot that is smaller,
like,
than the other crime fighting.
Here's the
robot.
Other thing, an 8-foot-tall crime fighting robot can still fit in the door. He's not so huge that he can't fit in the door still, but, like, 8 feet, yeah, he could definitely, like, duck a little. And yeah, most doors are that tall, I think.
I mean, I'm nearly 8 feet,
right,
and I don't have any trouble getting
around. You never have bumped your head that I've seen.
The doorways at my office are really small. I always have to sort of
angle yourself.
Angle
in.
I have to make myself into a parallelopiped to get through it, which is quite a trick, reducing my dimensionality like that.
Yeah, I was trying to explain to people why circles wouldn't fit through themselves, and that was rough. I didn't have the benefit of, like, a picture. Or a physical, like,
a disc.
Right. I should have grabbed a CD. That would have been perfect.
CD.
Yeah.
It's even compact. I would have taken any kind of disc.
Be like, look, no, like a circle is defined by its diameter here. You know, that's one of the ways you can define it. You can't like find a smaller cross section of the circle than the diameter here. If it goes through the center, that's anyway. Geometry. I'm super bad at it. I love it,
and I'm super bad at it.
Yeah.
I spent an amount of time that I'm not going to disclose in case my employers are listening today at Wook figuring out a Euclidean solid that has 6 vertices and 6 faces, but is not just a pentagonal pyramid. Because any pyramid type solid will have the same number of vertices and faces. Because I was thinking about, you know, think solids with the same number of vertices and faces.
Mm.
And you know, a hexahedron and an octahedron, they're buddies, right? Because the hexahedron has 6 faces, 8 vertices, and the octahedron has 8 faces, 6 vertices. Yeah. So it's the 8-6. And then you also have that with the dodecahedron and the icosahedron, which are 20 and 12 of each of them. Mm-hmm. But then your fifth platonic solid is your tetrahedron, which has 4 of each. They're the same.
Bum bum.
It's its own buddy.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking, you know, first, like, can I, you know, is this can't be the only solid in general that has the same number. There have got to be others. And I quickly found, you know, a square pyramid.
Mm.
5 vertices, 5 faces. Then I'm like, can I just keep changing the base of my period? Yes, you can. I'm like, okay, but what if I give myself the rule that at least 2 of the faces can't be triangles, so no longer a whatever pyramid? And it took me a while, but I managed to get a 6 vertices, 6 faces that has 2 quadrilateral faces and 4 triangle faces. So that was pretty exciting today. I definitely did not spend a significant amount of time on this at work, and it definitely did not interfere with me performing my job duties as described by whoever describes my job duties. So,
we're good. No, but it does sound like we have another Skulls cast on our hand at some point.
No, but this is important. Okay. That I'm glad that we segued into geometry and stopped talking about magic, because Kaz, let's never Skulls cast about magic again.
Oh, no.
Like, it's just verboten. We can't talk about cards that are printed, experiences we've had playing it. If we're talking about... I will make the small exception that if we were talking about the design of other games, we may compare them to magic.
Okay. I need to hang on to that one, because there's at least a lot of, like, there's at least a lot of easy jargon that you and I can point at and say, oh, that does that, this does this.
Let's try and avoid that as much as possible. Let's try and just remove magic from our lives.
This comes as a surprise to me. I don't know about removing magic from my life. I mean, I have the mouse pad and it says Magic the Gathering.
I want to destroy beauty. And I want to remove magic from your life.
Okay, well, I'm doing that. I just gave away, like, 1,500 cards.
That's good. You know what we call that? A good start.
Yeah. I get it. I don't know if we could... Like, by saying that, I think we just lost half our audience. How many casts have we done about magic sets?
Too many.
Okay.
This is not a... cast about poker.
I'm not going to commit to anything.
All right. Well, I will try to avoid it as best I can. And if I don't, and you're the first person to tweet at me about it, calling me out, you will receive a reward.
Whew! Okay, well, at the very least, I will endeavor to come up with topics that are not Magic the Gathering for us to talk about.
All right.
And then we'll just sort of
Definitely spend very little time at work coming up with new shapes.
That's if our employers are listening. Well, let's, at the very least, we can agree to end this one the same way we always end everyone. With Skulls.
Skulls.